The premium that predators pay a 20% share price bump. When suitors come calling, Doug Parker didn't like being looked at as the little punk in the room. While airline industry giants viewed Parker's U.S. Airways as a minor player, Parker, the small airline CEO, was quietly preparing for a full-scale invasion of the most iconic brand in the sky, American Airlines. By late 2011, American Airlines, AAL, was a shadow of its former self, while rivals like United Airlines, UAL, and Delta Airlines, DAL, had used bankruptcy and mergers to thin out their operations. American's management, led by CEO Tom Horton, had stubbornly resisted. When American finally filed for Chapter 11 protection in November 2011, Horton's plan was standard: emerge as a stronger, independent carrier. U.S. Airways CEO Parker saw things differently. He knew that for his carrier to survive the duopoly power of the larger majors, it needed scale. Parker had begun his aviation career at American Airlines in 1986, later becoming a VP at Northwest Airlines, then CFO at America West Airlines. On September 1, 2001, just 10 days before the September 11 attacks, he was named CEO of America West. In 2005, he spearheaded the merger between America West and U.S. Airways. Under his leadership, U.S. Airways achieved significant revenue growth and profitability, so Parker had earned a reputation as a leader and consolidation hawk. But, take it easy, many airline veterans said, American Airlines was more than twice the size of U.S. Airways. To many, Parker's ambition looked like a cultural leap that was simply too great. The primary obstacle wasn't just the math. It was the good old boy culture that often plagues legacy institutions. Tom Horton and the American Airlines board were fiercely protective of their independence. They viewed Parker as a scrappy upstart from a discount background. Horton explicitly told Parker that American was not interested in a merger until after American had successfully navigated bankruptcy on their own terms. Parker knew that if he waited for American Airlines to emerge from bankruptcy, the opportunity would vanish. "I need to shake things up myself," he said. The labor coup. An unconventional anecdote. In April 2012, while American's management was locked in bitter contract disputes with its own employees, Parker executed a maneuver that remains a legend in aviation history. He didn't go to the executives in the boardroom, he went to the break rooms. Parker and his team held secret meetings with the leaders of American's three largest unions, the pilots, the flight attendants, and the ground workers. In a windowless room in a hotel near the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, Parker made a stunning proposal. He offered them better wages and job security than their own management was offering, contingent on their support for a U.S. Airways takeover. In an unprecedented move, the union signed conditional labor agreements with the rival airline. It was a public undressing of American's leadership. Suddenly, the incumbents were facing a united front of their own employees and their smaller competitor. The American Airlines board was blindsided. Too proud to acknowledge their mistakes and capitulate to this puny outsider, American's management threatened a nuclear winter of litigation and regulatory hurdles. However, Parker's alliance with labor had changed the gravity of the bankruptcy court. The creditors' committee, seeing that the workforce was fully behind Parker, began to pressure Horton to negotiate. Parker had effectively redrawn the borders of the conflict. When the $11 billion merger was finalized in 2013, the results were a testament to Parker's strategic patience. While the new company retained the American Airlines name, a nod to the iconic consumer brand, the management structure told a different story. Doug Parker became CEO of the new American Airlines. His management team from U.S. Airways, including Scott Kirby and Robert Isom, took the reins of the world's largest carrier. They hadn't just merged. They had performed a reverse takeover. Parker overcame the obstacles of a defiant board, a bankrupt giant, and a skeptical industry by identifying the one variable the incumbents had ignored: the people. By winning the hearts and minds of the rank and file, the scrappy outsider didn't just survive the airline wars, he won them. The company we are recommending this month has played the role of scrappy upstart for years. Now, it's looking to tie its future to a larger airline, and it's getting its house in order to maximize its attractiveness to any outside bidders. A second look at a survivor. We first wrote about JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, in December 2023 in our report More Planes, More Profits. We recommended its 0.5% convertible bond maturing April 1, 2026, which we recommended selling 18 months later, in June 2025, after the price appreciated 22.6%. At the time, the airline was seeking government approval to acquire now-defunct Spirit Airlines, an unprofitable competitor, for $3.8 billion. JetBlue's management at the time believed that the combination would lead to substantial economies of scale and higher levels of profitability. Though the company was probably right about the benefits of becoming larger, we believe that the acquisition would have loaded JetBlue with unnecessary levels of debt and might even prove to be its ruin. In 2024, the U.S. Department of Justice blocked the sale, which we believe saved JetBlue from itself. Had JetBlue taken on the additional debt to buy Spirit, the combined company might well have needed to file for bankruptcy when jet fuel prices increased or demand for air travel was soft. The rejection of the combination with Spirit led JetBlue to shift its focus from growth at almost any cost to becoming profitable as soon as possible. We viewed this as a defining moment in the JetBlue story. In March 2025, as we saw the price of the bond increasing along with the performance of the company, we published Clear Skies Ahead, in which we recommended buying shares of JetBlue, then and now trading around $5.75 per share. We recommend JetBlue Airways today because we see various factors that make the company a timely, compelling, we believe, but risky investment. Outside of jet fuel prices, which it can't control, the company is cutting costs and increasing revenue. Operating results are likely to improve substantially this year, and to keep increasing in 2027 and 2028. JetBlue is poised to benefit from the demise of Spirit, which no longer operates, by adding flights in certain of Spirit's markets. Especially in Florida, management has revived the idea that JetBlue would be more profitable if it were larger. But this time they suggest the best way to realize some of this potential value would be to sell JetBlue to a larger competitor. The Trump administration has a generally favorable attitude toward corporate combinations. JetForward Profit Program is working in July 2020. JetBlue and American Airlines, AAL, announced their Northeast Alliance, an agreement to coordinate airline schedules and landing slots in the congested New York and Boston markets. Though JetBlue did not provide specific figures, it disclosed that the partnership was profitable. In July 2023, the Justice Department forced the companies to wind down the alliance. In January 2024, the Justice Department rejected the proposed acquisition of Spirit Airlines. With these hoped-for growth plans rejected, JetBlue developed JetForward, a combination of cost cuts and revenue enhancement efforts intended to increase the company's operating profit by $800 million to $900 million by the end of 2027. Through the end of 2025, the program generated $305 million in benefits, and the management has upped the program's target to $850 million to $950 million. The company expects JetForward to boost operating profit by an additional $310 million this year and between $235 million to $335 million in 2027. Blue Sky partnership with United Airlines. In May 2025, JetBlue and United Airlines, UAL, announced their Blue Sky operating partnership. This agreement, which was structured to avoid the pitfalls that bedeviled the Northeast Alliance with American Airlines, began in October 2025 when JetBlue's TrueBlue and United's Mileage Plus loyalty members became able to earn and/or redeem points on either airline. As of February, customers can now use either company's platforms to book tickets and redeem points. Over the next few months, United will adopt JetBlue's Paisley service for booking rental cars, hotels, and cruises, building a hub in Fort Lauderdale. Though JetBlue does offer transcontinental and transatlantic flights, the airline is domestically focused and centered mainly on the East Coast. New York is its primary hub, and Boston is the secondary one. The company is beefing up service in South Florida by adding flights out of Fort Lauderdale, which is an international airport, which presents a variety of opportunities, located in the booming South Florida market. JetBlue is in the process of launching year-round nonstop service between Fort Lauderdale and Atlanta, Austin, Norfolk, Virginia, and Tampa. The company is also increasing the number of flights between Fort Lauderdale and Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, and Raleigh-Durham. The company's goal is for Fort Lauderdale to become a hub that rivals Boston in activity. This opportunity is rooted in the growing demand for travel in South Florida, and has been turbocharged by the disappearance of Spirit Airlines, whose main hub was Fort Lauderdale. These additions in Florida may provide a double benefit because JetBlue will redirect capacity from New York's LaGuardia Airport and Newark Liberty Airport to a market that is growing faster, less congested, less subject to weather-related delays and cancellations, less subject to shortages of air traffic controllers. Alongside the Fort Lauderdale effort, JetBlue has been rolling out reconfigured aircraft that allocate additional space to the more lucrative first-class and business-class seats. The company has been expanding its premium seating for a few years, and recently won J.D. Power's Award for Best Business/First-Class Service. Poised for a multi-year profit increase, JetBlue is coming off a rough period that included the failed effort to acquire Spirit, the undoing of the Northeast Alliance with American, heightened competition stemming from more aircraft in service, engine-related groundings, and shortages of air traffic controllers. For 2023 to 2025, we calculated JetBlue's adjusted EBITDAR, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, and aircraft rental expense. In our calculations, we add back management's estimate of the profits lost because of the Pratt & Whitney engine defects, $225 million in 2024 and $300 million 2025, which required taking planes out of service for nearly 2 years. Adjusting for these costs, JetBlue generated adjusted EBITDA of $714 million in 2023, $879 million in 2024, and $724 million in 2025. To put this in context, between 2017 and 2019, the last 3 years before the pandemic, JetBlue's EBITDA was nearly double, averaging $1.4 billion. This year and next before the oil price spike related to the war in Iran that caused the price of jet fuel to double, JetBlue anticipated that operating profit this year would increase by 4 percentage points. For example, if revenue for the year had been $9 billion, profit would increase by $360 million, $9 billion x.04. Management attributes the bulk of this upswing to $310 million from the Jet Forward program and $50 million from a variety of other sources. On top of $724 million last year, this would imply adjusted EBITDA of $1.08 billion, $724 million plus $360 million. The company suspended this guidance when the price of jet fuel, largely a function of oil prices, skyrocketed following the U.S.'s invasion of Iran. JetBlue, which used 826 million gallons of jet fuel in 2025, initially projected an average price of $2.17 to $2.37 per gallon. After the war began, the price jumped to $5 per gallon and has recently fallen back to $2.86 per gallon. The price of jet fuel remained high for 3 months, or about a quarter of a year. Based on the 826 million gallons it used in 2025, that would equate to 207 million gallons. If we assume the jet fuel price averaged $2 per gallon above the company's budget, the additional fuel cost would be $414 million. Management disclosed that the combination of previously issued and newly issued tickets covered 40% of the fuel price increase. In addition, just as JetBlue lost money on the tickets it sold before the oil price rise, it should make an extra margin on the advance tickets sold to reflect peak fuel prices before the recent decline. We estimate that the company's cost for higher jet fuel is approximately $300 million. As painful as these extra expenses are, they should not be considered part of JetBlue's operating cost. Assuming the company doesn't make up for it with growth somewhere else, and it might, this unexpected expense would reduce the company's implicit guidance to roughly $800 million. In our own projection for 2026, we separate the extra fuel cost as well as our estimate of lost income from the Pratt & Whitney engine issue. We add them both back as one-off costs. We also assume $50 million additional profit from the new initiatives, the Blue Sky partnership with United Airlines and the added flights in and out of Fort Lauderdale. Putting the pieces together, we estimate that EBITDA will rise from $724 million last year to $956 million. Though there are many moving parts, fuel prices, demand for travel, the success of the new initiatives, the company's operating profit should end up rising significantly this year. JetBlue has not provided any guidance relating to 2027. If the company were to achieve its JetForward goals of $850 million to $950 million improvement relative to 2024, operating profit will rise by between $235 million and $335 million. In our projection for 2027, we assume the company captures $285 million in 2027 and $50 million in 2028, for a total of $950 million. We also project JetBlue will derive $125 million of incremental profit from its increased activity in Florida, its Blue Sky partnership with United, and the expansion of its high margin of Mint First Class service. Overall, we believe that operating profit for 2027 could rise by the range of $450 million to $1.4 billion. We emphasize that this estimate is highly speculative. We estimate organic growth will lead to $1.6 billion of operating profit in 2028. Debt outstanding and liquidity. As of March 31, JetBlue had $8.0 billion of debt, $2.2 billion in cash, and debt adjusted for cash of $5.8 billion. The $325 million of 0.5% convertible bonds matured on April 1. As a result, debt and cash are both lower by $325 million, but the net amount of $5.8 billion does not change. JetBlue's current cash balance of roughly $2.2 billion, $1.8 billion on April 1, should provide the company with more than enough liquidity to service its debt. Our projections show JetBlue using $524 million of its cash in 2026. Since it used $327 million in cash in Q1, this implies a remaining use of $197 million, $524 million minus $327 million already spent, for the rest of 2026. JetBlue expects to generate positive cash flow in 2027 and to begin paying down debt in 2028. In sum, we do not see JetBlue having a liquidity problem. Additionally, the company has more than $5 billion of unpledged assets it could potentially borrow against. Multiples and valuation. Because we view JetBlue's growth potential as greater than most of its peer group, particularly because of JetForward, the Blue Sky partnership, and its Fort Lauderdale effort, we believe the company merits a valuation multiple toward the high end of publicly traded airline stocks. The consensus is that airlines are valued within a broad range of 4x to 10x EBITDAR, again, traditional EBITDA plus aircraft rental expense. According to Enterprise Values Multiples by Sector US, a regular report published by New York University's Stern School of Business, January 2026, the average EBITDAR multiple for 23 publicly traded airlines is 7.35x. For this report, we value JetBlue using multiples of 6x to 7.5x EBITDAR. Even if an airline were to make an offer to purchase JetBlue tomorrow, the antitrust and other regulatory processes could take at least a year. It is unlikely the transaction could close before mid-2027. As a result, a buyer would likely determine how much it would pay by looking at EBITDAR in 2028, $1.6 billion in our projection. A company making a bid to acquire another company typically offers to pay a premium over the target's fair valuation. This increment can vary widely, as two recent acquisitions demonstrate. Allegiant Airline, ALGT, paid a 19% premium over the trading price to acquire Sun Country Airlines, SNCY, a price that equated to 7.5x operating profit before depreciation, and Rent Alaska Air Group, ALK, paid $18 per share for Hawaiian Airlines, which was trading around $4 per share before the news of Alaska's interest. Since Hawaiian Airlines was generating negative cash flow at the time, it is not possible to calculate a multiple. If JetBlue continues to operate efficiently, demand for travel remains robust, and the company's growth initiatives bear fruit. A lot of ifs, no doubt. Its operating cash flow could approach $1.4 billion in 2027 and reach $1.6 billion in 2028. Using valuation multiples of 6.0x to 7.5x, JetBlue stock could be worth between $6.79 and $14.84 per share, as compared with a current price of $5.58. If JetBlue grows faster than expected, we could imagine ending valuations above the high end of this range. The key list of potential acquirers. In an interview in May, JetBlue CEO Joanna Garrity said the company is open to anything and everything, which is coded CEO speak for "we are talking to potential buyers." We caution that it may take time for any offer to materialize. JetBlue is the seventh largest U.S. airline based on capacity, as measured in available seat miles per year. United Airlines, UAL, American Airlines, AAL, and Delta Airlines, DAL, are all roughly 5x JetBlue's size. Southwest Airlines, LUV, is roughly 3x as large, and Alaska Air Group, ALK, about 50% bigger. United Airlines, as discussed, United Airlines and JetBlue are rolling out their Blue Sky partnership, which was established precisely because the airlines' networks are complementary. United is a giant and is especially strong on international travel. This collaboration provides United with some of the advantages of combining the route networks, but stops well short of a full combination. A merger of the businesses would also give United a strong presence on the East Coast and valuable landing slots at JFK Airport, in addition to Newark Airport, where their flights currently land. United CEO Scott Kirby, whose recent proposal to acquire American Airlines was rejected, has commented United is not interested in acquiring JetBlue while it is losing money. As discussed, the company may generate operating profit this year, and almost certainly will do so next year. Given the Blue Sky partnership between the two airlines, we'll put United down as a maybe, particularly if a competing airline shows interest first. Southwest Airlines. Its combination with JetBlue would become the largest airline operating in the U.S., as measured by share of seats. Factoring in destinations worldwide, Southwest is currently and would remain the fourth largest U.S. carrier, with or without JetBlue. This should be a positive factor for getting antitrust approval from the Justice Department. And recall that JetBlue founder David Neeleman sold an airline to Southwest and was briefly its CEO, later building JetBlue on the Southwest model, offering lower prices than the major airlines and higher service levels than the discount carriers. Southwest was built around secondary cities with uncrowded airports nationwide, and JetBlue was built around large cities and major airports, principally in the Northeast. The two airlines' route maps should fit hand in glove. Alaska Airlines, it is strong on the West Coast and the Midwest, while JetBlue focuses on the East Coast. In addition, JetBlue would expand Alaska Airlines' reach to South America and Europe, which would enhance the value of its customer loyalty program. The combined airline would be the fifth largest in the U.S. with 165 billion available seat miles. On the negative side, acquiring JetBlue would be a financial stretch since Alaska Air already has relatively high leverage after buying Hawaiian Airlines in September 2024. American Airlines, given the history of the Northeast Alliance with American, which led to litigation and acrimony between the companies, we do not believe American Airlines would be interested in acquiring JetBlue. Their stocks have appreciated relative to JetBlue over the last 5 years. The shares of United, Southwest, and Alaska Air have appreciated more than JetBlue's, meaning it has become less expensive for these companies to use stock to purchase JetBlue. The value of each stock is indexed in this graph. Its price at the beginning of the 5-year period is defined as 100%. To the extent that any of the stocks has risen since then, its index value increases, and vice versa if it declines. For instance, the index value of United Airlines, UAL, the dark blue line, is 258. This means the stock has risen by 158% to 2.58x its starting price over the period. The index values of the other two potential acquirers have declined over the last 5 years, modestly for Southwest. The index of 96.6 equates to a less than 4% decline, and moderately for Alaska Air, the index of 85.0 equates to a fall of 15%. Even so, JetBlue's index value of 35.6 represents a much larger decline of nearly 65%. This means that the stock of Southwest and Alaska have become more valuable relative to JetBlue stock. United Airlines' index value of 258.4 means that however much stock United would have paid per JetBlue share 5 years ago would now buy 7.3 JetBlue shares. 258.4 out of 35.6 equals 7.4. The comparable ratio for Southwest is 2.7x. 96.5 out of 35.6 equals 2.7. For Alaska Airlines, it is 2.4x. 84.9 out of 35.6 equals 2.4. We emphasize that although these stocks have all become more valuable currency for buying JetBlue shares, it does not mean any of these companies will buy the company. We assess what each potential acquirer's balance sheet would look like if it were to offer $15 in stock for each JetBlue share, and assume, or refinance, JetBlue's debt. The transaction would leave Southwest in strong financial shape with debt equal to 23% of the value of the combined business. Similarly, United would hold debt equal to 27% of the value of the combined business. It would be a stretch but possible for Alaska Airlines, where debt would equate to 52% of the combined business value. Risks. Though JetBlue's management has exceeded its targeted savings from the JetForward program to date, there is no certainty it will be able to achieve the remainder of the planned savings, which account for much of the projected improvement in JetBlue's operating results. The airline industry is cyclical. Companies perform well in good economies and fall off sharply during periods of economic weakness. Though it is building up its Fort Lauderdale hub, JetBlue still derives a significant percentage of its revenue from flights into and out congested airports in New York City and Boston, where delays are relatively common. The economics of the airline industry are tough, fixed costs are high, profit margins are thin, and they can vary widely based on jet fuel prices. JetBlue has a high level of debt, although the company has enough liquidity at the present time. That could change if any external or internal event, like a plane crash or a cybersecurity breach, were to cause its results to decline sharply. Action to take: buy JetBlue Airways, NASDAQ, JBLU, up to $7 per share. Review of recommendations. New AMC Equity pays down debt on June 25. AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, raised $200 million from the sale of 95.25 million newly issued shares. The offering price equated to $2.09 per share. The company plans to use the proceeds to pay off $127 million of 6.125% bonds on or before they mature May 15, 2027. After this maturity, AMC has no substantial debt coming due until 2029. If box office receipts remain strong over the period, the company should generate substantial cash flow, which it will likely dedicate to reducing the company's debt load and to increasing the number of its auditoriums that feature IMAX and other premium screens, premium sound, and laser projection. We continue to recommend buying shares of AMC Entertainment, NYSE, AMC, currently trading at $1.90 per share, well below our initial buy-up to price of $4.50 per share. Pulp market remains challenging for Mercer International. On June 30, Mercer International, NASDAQ, Merck, announced that it would shut its Rosenthal pulp plant in Germany for maintenance during the month of September. Typically, the company closes this facility for 2 weeks in September. Though the company did not provide details, we believe the extended shutdown reflects weak pulp prices in Europe, where the bulk of Rosenthal's output is sold. Though Mercer's markets remain challenging, We believe that the value of its business justifies a bond price well above its current price of $533, given challenging liquidity and $875 million of our 5.125% bonds maturing February 1, 2029. We would not be surprised if the company reaches an agreement with certain large bondholders to swap these bonds for longer-dated new ones paying a higher interest rate and/or secured by the company's assets. We would view an exchange of this sort as a positive, since it would likely extend the company's runway for operational turnaround and growth. As a reminder, bondholders recently gave the company rights that would enable it to enter into bond exchanges with a small number of institutional investors. We continue to recommend buying Mercer International's 5.125% bonds up to a price of $650. To see the full list of recommendations, click here. Martin Fritzen Porter & Company. Stevenson, Maryland. For important disclosures and disclaimers, please visit our legal disclosures page.